All right, so we are. The goal of the class, at least, is to. I like to get to the underbelly of what things are about. So, Rosh Hashanah, that new year, is about new beginnings. It's an opportunity for us to really tap into, like, this idea of like making new year resolutions. It all comes from this place of wanting to start fresh. The question is, where does that power come from? So, I want to analyze where that comes from, and then by understanding it, like tapping into that, it will give us the ability to really, hopefully, at least recognize the power of that, and then to then work towards, taking that incredible energy and use it in a positive way. Okay? So the question really is just again to try to understand where Rosh Hashanah is the new year, so it's a new start. The question, though, is how that what are we commemorating, and then what are we tapping into? Okay, so commemoration is actually the creation of Adam, not the creation of the world. Based on a 6-7 day model of creation, the world was created on the 25th of Elul. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is on the 6th day of creation, when Adam was created, meaning that when mankind was created, when God created the first man. That's what we're commemorating. Okay, so it's kind of an interesting thing, right? So the 25th of Elul, let's just talk Jewish months, right? So Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei, the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. Go back to the month before is Elul. We are today currently in Elul. There are 12 months. Sometimes there's an extra month we add on Adar. That goes Nisan is when Passover is, and Tishrei is when Sukkot is. They're almost actually they're 6 months apart. They are mirror images of each other. Tishrei is the month of Rosh Hashanah. 15 days later is Sukkot. The 10th day of Tishrei is Yom Kippur, and they're all tied into different things. Like Yom Kippur is coming at the tail end of this. We started this whole process of the 17th of Tammuz when we had the 3 week period when. Going back historically, when Moses came down and broke the tablets, that's the 17th of Tammuz. In the historical, just going back to the history there, God forgave the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. That was a process. Okay? Just as a side point here, what is the significance of the first of Elul, this month that we're in now, which is the precursor, the month pre-Rosh Hashanah, is when God told Moses, okay, Moses, go now prepare the second tablets, which he then goes up for 40 days. Yom Kippur, he comes down with the tablets. That's when we knew, okay, phew, God forgave us for this terrible sin of the golden calf. So you have this historical backdrop of this period of 17th of Tammuz culminates with Yom Kippur, okay? But in between here, you have this Rosh Hashanah thing, which we're saying goes back to the beginning of time, okay? So it's kind of like we have all this stuff and that Rosh Hashanah that we're tapping in now to the creation of mankind, of humanity. Okay? And it's actually just again, I always get off on these side points, it's not what I want to talk about today, but it's important to note this that the Mishnah actually talks about different new years within the Jewish calendar. Like there's a new year for the trees. There's a new year for the grain. And there's a new year for Rosh Hashanah, which is when we come in front of God, kivnei maron, like sheep. How do sheep come in front of? They actually travel single file. So, and so what that means is that we are coming in front of God as individuals. What's the significance of that? Is that why did God create one person at the beginning of creation? He could have snapped his fingers, boom, a billion people. Said, no, I'm going to create one person. Kivnei Maron, we come in front of God as sheep, single file, as individuals, to highlight the fact that each individual is important, that for one person the world is created, and so that each person is a world unto themselves. And then God, therefore, when he assesses creation, he assesses mankind, he assesses each one of us, one at a time, as sheep that come in front as they travel, single file, one by one. Each individual is judged. So it's an individual It's b'shvili nivralam, but for me the world was created. Therefore, when we come to the beginning of creation and we celebrate that and we commemorate that, that's what's happening. It's the individual. So we have to. It empowers us to realize how important each one of us is, and that's the nature of how God judges and assesses. Okay, so that's just as a side. Now, what I'd like to get to now is to understand what is this, the idea of importance of firsts, because we're talking about the first of the year, the first and what is the power of the first in terms of beginnings, of new beginnings. So I want to look here at this number two, the Talmud Bavli. So now, we've talked about in the past the Maharal Prague. The Maharal lives in the 1500s, time of the Reformation, when tradition was attacked, and he therefore took texts and he said, you think that this is just a, you know, don't take this lightly, but the incredible depth, and he opens up for us. He really is a mystic, but he knew everything. He knew like all the parts of Torah, but he takes something like this. We're going to read this piece, we're going to say, I don't see anything deep here, and then I'm going to show you how deep it is again, and then we're going to get into this idea. He's going to open up this concept of the idea of starts, of firsts. So let's see this. Let's see the story. Number two, Talmud Bavli, Sanhedrin 102b. One day, Rav Ashi ended his lecture just before reaching the matter of the three kings. So Rav Ashi actually was the one who edited the Talmud. Okay. So he's giving a class, and he basically makes kind of this, he makes kind of fun of this Menashe, who was one of the evil kings of the Jewish people. So he said to his students, tomorrow we'll begin the lecture with our colleagues, the three kings, who although they were sinners, were Torah scholars like us. But basically, again, remember the bold is the actual Talmudic text, the lighter part is the person who's adding in the color, it's the color comment, you know, it's like, right, okay. So Menashe, the king of Judea, came and appeared to him in his dream. And Menashe said to him angrily, you called us your colleague and the colleagues of your father? How dare you characterize yourself as an equal? Menashe is basically saying, like, what do you mean? You're degrading us? We're serious people. You're not our equal, basically. I will ask you, from where are you required to begin cutting a loaf of bread when reciting the blessing who brings forth bread from the earth? So he basically asked him a halachic question. When you go break bread and you make the blessing, Hamotzi lechem min haaretz, right from, so right who brings forth bread from the earth? Where do you break the bread from? Rav Ashi has no clue. He says, I don't know. So Menashe said to him, even this from where you're required to begin cutting a loaf of bread and reciting the blessing who brings forth bread from the earth, you did not learn, and yet you call us your colleague. Basically saying, I'm asking you a basic question, you don't know the answer. Who do you think, like, you're calling me a basic, you know, like, come on. So Rav Ashi said to Menashe, teach me this halacha, and tomorrow I'll lecture and cite in your name during my public lecture delivered on the festival. So basically, I guess what he's describing here, Rav Ashi, is that they had this big forum. It's like an annual thing where people came together. He probably had like hundreds of people, whatever it is, a big forum. And he's now going to go out there and start quoting Menashe and give him the proper respect. Menashe said to him, one cuts the loaf from where it crusts as a result of baking. So you break the bread from where it gets hard first. Okay. This is like already like, you know, Rashi is the guy who like edited this whole Talmudic thing. Like he's like one of the greatest of all time. And he doesn't know this basic thing. And then that's the answer. And he's Rashi said to him, since you were so wise, because it's okay, whoa, what is the reason you engaged in idol worship? Now that was the issue. Menashe and his time, they were running after idols, which is very hard. Meaning, so we're basically saying now, if we take a step back, we're saying that basic Menashe is like this huge scholar. He's like this incredibly brilliant person, and but at the same time, he's totally crazy about running. He's a big idol worshiper, so like, so Rav Ashi doesn't get it. I thought that if you're an idol worshiper, you must be a basic, like, you know, you're like a, yeah. Right? You're a heathen, yeah. Right? And you're running. So now Rav Ashi's not getting it. So he says to him, like, I don't get it. So what were you doing? So Menashe said to him, had you been there, At that time, you would have taken and lifted the hem of your cloak and run after me due to the fierce desire to engage in idol worship, due to the fact that it was a common fate. Okay, so I'm not too crazy about the way he interprets it, but basically he's saying is, Rav Ashi, if you were there, you'd be the head of the line running after the Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we have to understand. We're going to explain exactly what's going on here. The next day, Rav Ashi said to the sages, the prelude, the lecturer, we will begin with the treatment of our teachers. So now he's already saying Menashe is okay. Right. So the question is, what's going on here? Okay. So first things first, we see that Rav Ashi had this understanding that Menashe's propensity to go after idol worship was from a lack of understanding. And Menashe says, that's not what the case was. He goes, if you would have been there, Rav Ashi, you would have been lifting up your cloak. Now, what does that mean? So the Maharal explains that what he was saying is like this. He said, first of all, this is not from a lack of understanding. I'm clearly much more superior to you in my understanding of halacha. I gave you a basic question, or at least that's what it looks like, and you didn't understand, so don't. So what was going on? Understand that what was happening at the time when I lived is that what you can't relate to is that there was an incredible pull, an irrational pull towards idol worship. If you would have been there, you would have been running after it also, because it was an incredible pull, but it's beyond the rational. But then he adds in a layer. He says, I want you to know that the bright guy who I intellectually know that something's not good, but what happens is that I have this crazy desire for something that's pulling me towards that thing. I'm hoping intellectually that something will come and be an impediment. And when the impediment comes, I'm happy. Menashe says to him, I want you to know that you're not that bright, because if you had the impediment, you would have lifted the impediment out of the way. A smart person sees the impediment's happy and lets it be there. You are not so bright. You would have taken the good impediment out of the way, and that's what he was saying to him. And it was a subtle, thing. Okay? But now, the question is, what's the story? What is the significance of this whole thing about the bread? Breaking the bread, what does that have to do with when it gets hard? First, what's that? What's going on here? So now, here's the key to the whole thing. Rav Ashi again thought that Menashe had a lack of understanding, and that his idol worship and propensity for that was based on being ignorant in one way or the other. So what Menashe is explaining to him in this discussion about breaking the bread and crusting first and all that stuff is a very deep concept, very deep idea. So what did Rav Ashi think? Rav Ashi thought that there was an issue of understanding creation and how God created the world. Okay, so now before we go into this, I want you to see the Rambam, number 3. Let's look at the Rambam. These are two. The first chapter, Rambam wrote what's called the Yad HaChazaka. It's his halachic work. It's a corpus. It covers every aspect of Jewish life. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. The Rambam codified all the laws. The Shulchan Aruch definitely, so Rambam lived in, let's say, the latter part of the 1100s, 1200s. Rav Yosef Kairo wrote the Shulchan Aruch in the end of the 1400s. So there's this development of halachic work that's going on. The Rambam is the first one to really put together this incredible, comprehensive, very orderly approach to our laws. At the beginning of it, it's a legal book. But here, at the beginning of that legal book, he maps out for us what we're supposed to believe. So the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, Foundations of the Torah, Chapter 1, he says, the foundation of foundations, the firmest pillar of all wisdom is to know that there is a first being. We have to know there is a first being, that he caused all beings to be, and that all beings from heaven and earth and from between them could not be saved for the truth of his own being. Right? So everything has to come from this first being, which is God. Okay, first being. Let's turn. I skip now. This is in the same chapter, number 7. So these are, we call it in the Rambam, when you talk about the Rambam, it's the first chapter, Halacha 1, Halacha 2. So this is Halacha 7. This God is one God. He is neither two nor more than two, but one to whose unity there is no comparison among the individual units in the universe, not like the unit of a genus which embraces many individual units, nor like the unit of a body which is divisible into parts and particles, but a unit to whose unity no other unit in the universe is like. So you have this idea of the oneness of God. Okay, this is like a basic principle in Judaism. Okay, I'm going to jump to the last line where I can go through this. Therefore, the impossibility of for him to be but one, and the knowledge of this doctrine of monotheism is a mandatory commandment saying, the Lord is our God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Lord our God is one God. Okay, so we have to understand God's oneness. It's a whole other class. I'm just touching on this very quickly. But here's what's going on. Rav Ashi thinks, how does this oneness, this creator that is one, create a world of multiplicity? How do you go from this perfect one into this world of the physical, which is anything but that? It's multiples, right? So how do you go from the perfect one to the world of the multiples? So this is like a philosophical challenge that Aristotle, the Rambam, Maimonides has another book called the Guide to the Perplexed, where he brings a lot of Aristotelian philosophy and ideas in there. So how do you get from this one to the multiple? So the Maral explains that what Rav Ashi thought was that Menashe, idol worshiper guy, must have struggled with this issue and thought that God created, this one God created a multifaceted being that then creates, or maybe another being that then goes and creates. And that's how it somehow bridges the one-to-one thing. And that's what Rav Ashi thinks. So now comes along Menashe in his answer to him. The Maral saying, this is all in this piece we just read. Where do you break the bread from? When you say, Hamotzi lechem min haaretz, God who has taken bread from the ground. Now here's a stop. Let's ask a question. You know, last time I checked, we never saw loaves of bread growing from the trees outside. I don't know about your backyard, right? Right, we're good. No trees that are growing bread, right? But we say that. So are we making stuff up? No. God is Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So the fact that it's not growing from the ground at its starting point, but eventually that's where it goes to, we're recognizing God's hand in that. How so? Okay. And Menashe's answer of, we break it from where it crusts first. Okay, so what is that saying? Something about first. So let's see here. Let's turn for a second. I'm jumping around here. But this is a very interesting medrash. Number 5. So the first line in the Torah, it says, now what does it say in Genesis 1? It says that in the beginning, or let me say it in the Hebrew, Bereshit, bara Elokim, Bereshit, beginning, in the beginning, for the beginning. How do I translate that first word of the Torah? It's a very challenging thing. Because, or the beginning was created, Bereshit, bara Elokim, bara is to create, Elokim is God, Bereshit. So there are different ways to understand. Reshit is the first, or beginning. Bereshit is something about, or is it like in the beginning, or for the beginning? Be in Hebrew could be understood in different ways. Bereshit, the Rashi explains, one way of understanding is for the beginning, for that which is first, God created the world. So this medrash, let's see the medrash. The medrash says here, Rabbanai said, the world and its contents were only created in the merit of the Torah, as it says, God founded the world with wisdom. So God founded, or the world was based on the wisdom of the Torah. Rabbi Barachia said, in the merit of Moses, as it says, he saw a first part for himself. He saw a first part. There's going to be this play on firsts, right? The first part. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Matana, the world was created in the merit of three things. The world was created for three things. Chala, tithes and first fruits. Now challah, what do you guys make? You've gone to the challah bake, right? What do you do there? You take the flour, water, and whatever else you throw in there, and you make it and you knead it, and then when it's finalized and it's a big thing of dough, what do you do? You take out challah, right? That's the mitzvah of what we're talking about here, challah. Tithes and first fruits. Let's just talk about these three things. There are three mitzvahs here. One is you have a tree, the first fruit sprouts, you go out, tie something around it. That fruit is the first fruit. You're going to take that fruit up to the temple, and that's called Bikurim. You're bringing that to God and saying, God, I recognize you supplied us all of this. I'm going to take the first of it, and I'm going to dedicate it to you, God. That's Bikurim. Maaser, tithes, is let's just use wheat, it's easy. I bring in all of the grain. I actually make a pile. I smooth it out. Now it's finally in that form. At that point, I take out 10%. The first, it's like I pull out the first from this pile of grain. That's maaser, tithes. The third one is challah. Now, what Maral explains is that they're all kind of classified in the same thing, even though we're going to stop and say they're not really, but let's see. Challah, you take that grain now, I process it, I grind it up, and now I take the flour that I've now processed, bring in the water, put in whatever else is in, and I'm going to throw into that thing. I make this complete thing of dough, and then I take out from that, and I give that to God. I dedicate that. That's the mitzvah of challah, okay? So you have these three things, right? So each one is, we're saying that each one of these mitzvahs that I just said, Bikurim, the first fruit, the first pile of grain, I take out from that, and this final, processed thing, I'm also going to take out. And all those things have an aspect of firsts. I take out the first of that, and I dedicate it to God. So now, Bikurim, I understand, because that is the first. It's simple, right? It grows off the tree, the first. What's the aspect of firsts? Because let's look at this inside just so you see what I'm talking about. The verse, in the beginning God created, refers to challah, as it says, the beginning of your doughs. So the first of your dough should be dedicated. That's challah. It also refers to tithes, maaser, as it says, the beginnings of your grains. It also refers to first fruits, as it says, the beginning of the fruits of the land. Each one of them are referred to the firsts. Okay? Each one has an aspect of first, even though, again, Bikurim, easy, that's the first fruit. But what we're seeing here in the Medrash is that it's saying that there's an element of firsts in that grain that you're going to take out, the piece from that, and also from the dough. Each one is going to have some element, okay? So now, let's go back to our friend Menashe, right? Menashe said...
That's a percentage, though.
So good. So we're saying that, no, it is. That's what the Medrash is saying. It is first.
Okay.
So that's where we're going to have to get our head around that. That's a challenge, okay? Mm-hmm. And just to remember that all of this is going to try to get us back to Rosh Hashanah and new beginnings, right?
What about the first thing they did when they went to the land of Israel?
Oh, fantastic. Excellent.
That's the thing I was thinking about the whole time.
That's the last source. That's right. I did number one.
Well, I didn't even read it.
Right? Because it's the first. So I got right. You didn't read it yet, and I don't want you to read it yet. So don't. Hold off on that. Because it's not exactly that, but it's tied to exactly that point, which is great. Thank you.
Jonathan, to your point, a little bit before, is that, you'd think that challah could have been covered in grains, but here they specifically say that it's not, right?
That's it. We'll say it again?
So we've talked before that challah is basically made from grains, right? So
right.
It's just processed. So the fact that they call out challah separately, it's not included in that, that it's a totally separate thing.
Right.
It surprises me a little bit because
it's so,
the only thing that's processed in the whole thing. Everything else is
correct.
Comes directly. It's
correct. Correct.
Thing.
Correct. So, okay. Right. So that's it's the question on the Medrash, to understand, you're going to tell me that four gracious. For things that are firsts, the world was created. And now we have a list. We have the first fruits, we have the first tithes, now we have the first challah. It's like, it's hard, right? But that's exactly, by the way, that's exactly what it says, though. Listen to this language.
Are you coming into that soon?
But listen to this language. Listen to the language of what you just said. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, this is in Numbers chapter 15. Chapter 15, yeah. Hashem spoke to Moses. Now, it's interesting, just as a backdrop. This is after the Jews sin with the spies, okay? The craziest thing is the first thing that Moses talks about is the idea of bringing libations with wine. That's a whole beautiful, the Torah more. I was like, there's always like, there's certain, you have a question, you go, what's that doing here? He answers it by saying, the first thing that God did, he says, listen, I know that one of the major things that was going on with the spies is they brought out the grapes. There was an issue with grapes. They used the grapes as a kind of like as the prop to say that there was a problem with the land of Israel because these are huge grapes, and then they started turning it negative. He says that's why the first thing is talking about libations to say, okay, guys, I understand you messed up with the grapes. You'll bring these wines, the wine as libation, almost to say, it's okay. I understand you messed up. You'll have a tikkun, and you have a way to fix it, rectification with the thing you messed up on. That was the first thing. The next thing is challah. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come to the land to which I bring you. Again, remember, they just messed up. They're not going to be able to go into the land for 40 years because of this mess up with the spies. God gives this commandment saying, it shall be that when you will eat of the bread of the land, you shall set aside a portion for Hashem. As the first of your kneading, you shall set aside a loaf as a portion. Like the portion of the threshing floor, so shall you set it aside. So just like you do by the Truma Miser, the tithes, challah. So the first mitzvah that we're commanded to do when we come to the land of Israel, challah. Okay? From the first of your kneading, you hear that word? The first of your kneading shall you give a portion to Hashem for your generations. Okay? Okay, so this is going very deep. This is like right there. We're going into the idea of firsts. So the rabbis, when our teachers saw these, like these, we call them, you know, thematic words in the text. They're like, you know, this is not a coincidence. They're messaging. First. So again, so challah, you see how it's such a holy thing. Like you're going to make a loaf of bread, challah. The mitzvah of challah is this idea of you're taking something from that. You recognize that there's something of first in there that I'm going to pull out and take it and dedicate it back to God. Now let's go back to our friend Menashe, okay? Because Menashe is, he's not our friend. I'm sorry, he's our teacher. Sorry. I don't want to come to, I'm going to have a dream tonight where you're like, okay, well. I say it endearingly, right? Okay. But our teacher, Menashe, right? So he tells us like this. He says to Rav Ashi, you think that I went after idol worship from lack of knowledge? That had nothing to do with lack of knowledge. I understood. Now, what did he understand? So the Maharal beautifully explains that this challenge of the oneness of God, being able to create a world of multiplicity, how'd that happen? God actually creates a single point, a racious point, a beginning point. So God's kind of like expression of himself in this world is the idea of a single point of firsts. That's God's singularity put into this world. And that singularity point, whatever that might be, whether it be Torah, and whether it be the Jewish people, because that's one of the firsts, whether it be mice, whether it be the first fruits, the first tithes, the first challah, all these different types of firsts, they're all expressions of that single point that God creates in that bridge of the one-to-one. Okay? And from that place of oneness that God created in the world, then the multiplicity becomes, expansion comes from there. So that there's always going to be, and that's what he's saying, is that voracious, for that first, God created the world as an expression of himself in the world, okay? And so it's always, we go back to that place because it's a place of connecting to the oneness of God, okay?
Yeah. Sorry to throw a winger in here, yeah, but just because we became a grand aunt and uncle this week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And he's going to be, we're going to, I guess, have to have a Pidgeya Haben.
Mm-hmm.
Is that also, you know, is that the first time you're considered a family or when you get married?
When you consider a family?
Well, because it's your first child, so it's
no. So that's what no. What's interesting? No, what's interesting
what
about that?
Saying,
no, no. So no.
I'm
so
like,
no.
Okay,
so what's interesting?
Now you're in it.
No. So what's interesting about the Pidyon HaBen? The Pidyon HaBen actually is a recognition of the fact that, again, going into the idea first, God says, "I want you to give your first to me back," right? Because always,
right.
But that's again, that's another. The whole idea of the Exodus from Egypt is. That's not, we're going to keep that aside. Sure. It's connected, but that's when we get to like Passover time, I'll talk about that. That's we're leaving that, but it's connected. It's connected. Okay, because we're going to see that in this. Okay, fine. So back to this. So now Menashe says, Menashe's expressing this point on the deepest way when he says to him, "So where do you break bread when you make?" The blessing, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. When you make the blessing, you take bread from the earth, which is basically recognizing the fact that you can process something, you can make a whole thing of dough, but you're recognizing the fact that's God who took it out from the land, from the ground. You have now the process, it's still with God's hand, you know, signature, so to speak, from the place that it crosses first. Because it's always going back to that expression of first, because again, it's this point of the oneness of God, that first point, that singular point of creation that expresses, it's like God's signature, and then from there he then adds on to that singular point, because a singular point is the expression of God. It's that oneness, it's God's signature. But that the idea of all these mitzvahs that come out from this, even down the line, challah becomes like even the greatest expression that even through the world as it develops and processes, I have to, that God's signature of firsts are in there, so that I'm going to take the first out of that process thing and say, this is God. This is from God. It's the first. Okay?
So this is like a reminder so we don't forget.
It's not just to forget. It's not, yeah, you could say it like that. But it's more than that. It's like it's not just forgetting. It's like it's integrating. Yeah, and it's literally putting it into what we how we exist. Exactly.
Well, a little far out there too, but it just shows. I think, because in here you said it earlier about God existing in everything. It also shows how God is really a part of everything that we do. I mean, you're
correct. 100%.
Part of our existence, and part of our sustenance, and what's more sustaining than power.
Right. So that's. But you see, though, that now that the idea of, again, so going back to that first line of the Torah, for rachis, for firsts, God created the world. And so I flipped it around and I said, and all these mitzvahs are expressions of that, the challah. And going back, mice are the tithes, the truma is even thrown into that. Every time we take a little bit off and give it back to God, it's always the first thing. That's why the idea of the Pidyon HaBen is also, I'm recognizing the fact that this firstborn, but there's something more in depth than that, because in the Exodus stories, the parenthetical, in that God says that my Jewish people are my eldest, my first. They're my first, and you afflicted them, and therefore God, the whole idea of him, that last of the 10 plagues is that he kills the firstborn. First, it's again, it's the same, it's all connected to this idea of first. Okay, so now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting for me that it's when it's the dough, because dough isn't really it's a thing, but it's not a useful thing, that it's not that we're not taking part of the bread.
The bread.
When it's finalized.
But it's
right.
Alive.
Okay, so no,
that
so
right
that's interesting.
Right,
so you know what's interesting?
Why are we not taking that?
Yeah,
that.
Oh, why challah doesn't come later.
It's interesting.
So no, so they're two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
The mitzvah challah of taking off that piece to dedicate, that's separate from this. This almost like they're two separate things that are happening here. First, I have the processing of the dough. God told me that when you come to the land of Israel, I have to take my dough and take a piece of that, the first piece off. That's going to God before it's even processed, meaning before it's even baked. Now, post-baking, and I'm making a blessing, Menashe is teaching us this halacha that I'm recognizing with even when I break my bread, I still have that obligation to recognize the first element in the bread. Okay, fine. So now we have to close this thing up and say, okay, let's talk about Rosh Hashanah. So let's see. Okay, okay. We sat together. Okay, wait. Hold on.
We sat together. When you started, I knew exactly where this was going.
Exactly. So now, we sat together. We're 40 minutes in. One thing we all, if I ask each one of you, it's clear that we understand. We have an incredibly deep appreciation for the idea of God and firsts, right? That we've done. We've accomplished that. Good. So now, let's just look at this first Rashi, the first Rashi in the Torah. This is to what Michelle made comment to a little bit, but even though really the challah thing, we already covered that, but let's just see this idea. This is the strangest, the first Rashi in the Torah, okay? Rabbi Isaac said, that was Rashi's Rebbe, his teacher, the Torah, which is the law book of Israel, should have commenced with the verse, the month shall be unto you the first of the months, which is the first commandment given to Israel. Okay? The first mitzvah the Jewish people are given when they're coming out of Egypt is, we have an idea of Rosh Chodesh. I'll say it like that. What is the reason then that it commences with the account of the creation? Because, again, we're thinking this is not a storybook. It's not a history book. This is a book that's teaching us about how to look at the world and how to live our lives. So why not start, okay, let's go with the first commandment. So why with the creation story? Because the thought expressed in the text, he declared to his people the strength of his works. He gave an account of the work of creation in order that he might give them the heritage of the nations. Koach masav higid lamo, latet lem nachas gaim. Koach masav, the power of his actions, his works, his creation, he told his people, "Latet lahem nachlas gaim." It's a very interesting, like, in order to give them the inheritance, the land of Israel. For should the peoples of the world say to Israel, "You are robbers because you took by force the lands of the seven nations of Canaan," Israel may reply to them, "All of the earth belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. He created it. And he gave it to whom he pleased. When he willed it, he gave it to them. And when he willed it, he took it from them and he gave it to us." Okay, so that's a very, we're like, okay, so let me summarize it. Let's put it into our own words here. So Rashi says, listen, the Torah should have started from the first commandment. But God wanted to teach us the power of creation, so he starts with the creation story. And why? Because he wanted to give us the land of Israel. What? What's going on here? Okay. So first, by the way, the first commandment of making Rosh Chodesh, right? So the idea of a new beginning of a month is actually, should have been the first thing in the Torah, but it's corresponding to the creation story, which is all about firsts, okay? So it's all tied together. So here we got. Point one is, first commandment is going to be the idea of new month, the idea of recreating on a monthly basis, as does the moon. We see it goes away, invisible, and it literally is born anew every single month. First, that should have been the first commandment. But what? God wanted to tell us about creation first, because now we understand what's creation about. Firsts, the most important first, as Menashe told us, or as the Maharal really tells us, is that this idea of the oneness of God coming into creation as oneness, as a singularity, only to then blossom and to expand into creation. So creation is all about that first point, that starting point. But what is it? And why? Because he wanted to give us the land of Israel. Because what is the land of Israel? Okay, God gave it to us as an inheritance, but why? Because the land of Israel has, it's the seat of creation. it is the place of that has the incredible energy of this description of one-to-one, of God putting his signature of newness, of this idea of first, of things that are fresh and constantly fresh. The idea of being alive, the idea of God, of what it means that of God, is the idea of that dynamic always being alive and always being fresh and new. Our desire to be able to have, or our need to have first and to have a Rosh Chodesh and to have a new year, is to be able to understand that we want to reconnect to what God is, which is all life. I was looking at a book last night. He was talking about the idea that Rosh Hashanah, we really focus on Isaac. Of all the people, the theme is Isaac over and over again. Why? Because Isaac went to the altar. His father takes him, Abraham. And we read about the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Isaac experiences what we call Tchiyat HaMesim. He comes back to life. Even though he never died, he saw the sword, he died. Only to then be born anew. Because that's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the time, the power of Rosh Hashanah is that we come back to a place of where we come back to life, literally. We can re-experiencing life anew. But it's tying into this idea of this God, the God first of that he implanted into creation. And it also is expressed, it's interesting, that Adam's creation is, the way the Medrash describes it, is parallel to the mitzvah of challah. How so? You ready for this one? It says in creation that God took from all the different parts of the world, he kind of like brought all the different, like dirt from every part of the world, he put water and he made it into a big dough, and from that Adam was created. Okay? And so that the idea of challah, it's really corresponding to the creation of Adam. Okay? So on Rosh Hashanah, again, what are we commemorating? We're not commemorating that just the creation, because it's there is that like kind of like it straddles Hayom HaRasolim, it's the birth of the world, but it's the birth of the creation of man. Chala. The idea of firsts. The idea that God puts together an Adam that's going to appreciate his creation. But it's the idea again that there's that element of first that's embedded within all of creation, which is the expression of God, the expression of being alive. And so when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we tap in, just like every month you have it, Rosh Hashanah is on steroids. It's like on, you know, it's to the nth degree of that idea of the renewal, of the idea of coming back to life. Tchiyat HaMesim, like what happened with Yitzhak, what happened to Isaac, same idea. So we tap into that power. That's the power of Rosh Hashanah. It's a big deal. So, and then, of course, that becomes the idea of judgment, because what God is assessing and we're being assessed for is, okay, I put you in this world. Are you guys accomplishing what I put you in here for? On an individual basis,
that's
right?
That's a big challenge. That's what I worry about.
It's a big deal, right? Yeah. It is a big deal. It's a serious day. Mm-hmm. It's a day that's exciting because it reminds us of how important each one of us are. We are individuals that God cares about. The same idea as, like, always quote the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, the day of a birthday is an exciting day because that's the day that God decided that we should each individually be in the world, right? So the same thing here. Rosh Hashanah is a celebration of that as well. Wow. But it's an idea. It's a time for assessment. It's a time for tapping into this very powerful idea of racious, of firsts, of...
Okay. Wow, 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 wow. Oh my gosh.